This is a great opportunity for me. I'm a pleasure and an honor. I've known this lady for, golly, almost 5 years now and have followed her career. I think I met Laurel. A quick story on her. She was a single mom working for an oil company, not making the millions and billions they're making today. She was just a salaried person working for an oil company, got a big dream, got mentored by some great people, and just took the initiative and the action, and in a very short period of time, became a self-made millionaire. And I met her after she began to teach people the things that she had learned, the things that she had applied, and to get the results that she got. And so now time has passed by, and I found out tonight almost 500 millionaires she's helped create using the methods and techniques we're going to talk about tonight. She has a really hot-selling new book out called The Millionaire Maker, and she is indeed deserving of that title. So welcome to the call, Ms. Laurel Langmire.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Tonight, Laurel, what we want to do is just give them some of your patented stuff about how to claim your power now over money. And, I've had the pleasure to do these teleseminars with you going back several years now to the original one we did, My Money Choices. We had a lot of people's lives changed as a result of that program you did and programs that you've done over the years. And as I was going through your book, I saw some familiar things because I recognized things that you've been teaching for quite a while now because they're things you've been living for quite a while. And I know the people on the call have heard because I told them in the advertisement of this call about the wealth cycle. And that's a trademark system that you created or you developed and that you refer to a lot. Why don't you start out tonight and tell us what are you talking about when you talk about the wealth cycle?
Well, Vic, the wealth cycle is part of what we call the patterning of money. The biggest problem we see in not only America, like you said, it's worldwide, principles, is that most people have their money patterned wrong. Everybody's heard that when you create wealth and you become wealthy, when the money starts coming, it's going to come quick. And everybody sort of hears that, but I don't think tactically and technically, I don't think a lot of people know what that means. So what I mean by that is a lot of people are conditioned still financially in the industrial age, meaning make money and go get a lifestyle, meaning go buy a big house, big cars, big stuff, and then, the whole American dream, I'll call it that, even though I know there's people from all over because it's really kind of their, I'd say it's the dream is to have, once your kids are gone, then we'll work on assets. And I think so many people do that backwards. So when I first started working with people, and seeing their patterns of money are so incorrect, I'll just call it that. I always say they have a lifestyle cycle instead of a wealth cycle. So what that means is that your lifestyle, meaning your liabilities of how much you owe and the expenses of what you owe every month, is far exceeding your income and assets. And one of our mottos is you need to build your assets, then your lifestyle. So the way to think about the wealth cycle, it's a way that we're going to get you set to pattern your money. So as you create more and more wealth in your life, it knows where to go. If money doesn't know where to go, I honestly believe it doesn't come in. I would say God doesn't deliver to chaos and is not going to deliver to a chaotic system. So in very simple terms, the wealth cycle is income, which you generate either passively or earned, put into your asset column. We call it a wealth account, with the sole intention that it's going to be reinvested into assets that produce more income. So it's an income to asset cycle that we need to start. And, we've proven, because Vic said, I've been a single mom for 6 years. And, since I've had Logan, I've had Logan's whole money pattern in a wealth cycle. So he's a model for my company. So he gets a little paycheck once a year. That money's put away into an asset column, and he's actually in the process right now, Vic. We're buying a laundromat, and part of his wealth account from his assets is going to be buying part of the laundromat with us, and he's six. But it's the income to assets, assets to income, and once that pattern starts, there's two things that will accelerate a wealth cycle. One is the rate of return that you get on your money, and the other is putting more money to work. And that's a huge, huge controversial subject that we have that's different than everyone else. As we always say, put new money to work, which means you got to build a cash machine, and that's a lot what we're going to talk about this summer, is how do you build a cash machine, put more money to work, put more money in the wealth cycle, and then after you've built this huge wealth cycle, then go buy a lifestyle. I think so many people do it in reverse, Vic, and what we find is that we spend most of our time getting people's money patterns completely reversed.
Okay. I understand that, and I think there are some people on the call that really haven't come to terms with that part of that they have been investing in a lifestyle, not in a wealth style. When you talk about the wealth cycle, I know you use the term gap analysis. That's where you start with. Mm-hmm. What is the, you know, for someone who this is all new to, it's all kind of Greek, what is the wealth, what is the gap analysis as it relates to getting started with a wealth cycle?
Well, the gap analysis is the first thing that we do when we work with a client and we work with somebody. And on May 7th of 2005, I was in front of a room in Sacramento, and I pulled somebody up to do a money makeover, and I drew this chart. And ever since I drew the chart that day, I've called it a gap analysis. So it's essentially, if you think about, you know, you're drawing a piece of paper, it's a the bottom part of the paper is what we call a baseline, which is where you are. That's knowing your income, your expenses, your assets, your liabilities, your cash flow, your net worth. Like, the baseline is where you are today. The top of the page is what we call Financial Freedom Day. We don't call it retirement because when you retire, you die. And retirement pretty much worldwide is attached to the age of somewhere in the late 50s, 60s, or 70s. And I know that you can become a millionaire in 3 to 5 years using our system. And my fastest millionaire is 8 months and 3 weeks. So the way that I like to start and have you start, and the book, you know, describes 7 different gap analysis, is to really understand where are you. You write all that detail at the bottom. Where do you want to go, which is your financial freedom day. I always call that your want-to life. And then in between is how we build the plan. So if you notice that we're putting what you want up top, and we're going to back in through a plan of focusing on income and assets only, and to get to where, you know, to take you from where you are to where you want to go. So it's a pretty simple form, but that gap analysis has proven, you know, a really powerful technique to help us get planning done for people in a way that they've probably never seen financial planning. We don't focus on debt. We don't really, frankly, care if you have debt. The whole premise of getting out of debt first is why most people in the world are broke. If you get out of debt, what do you have? You've paid off your mortgage, you paid off your cars, you have stuff paid off, but you truly have nothing. It's really a horrible system. And I know a little later in the call, Vic, we're going to talk about, you know, what we do that's so different. And we do not focus your planning on getting out of debt. We could care less if you have it. We got to focus on creating in your life. And that's really what the gap analysis is designed to do, is to focus you on the right things to get you that wealth cycle moving in your life.
And I knew you had that attitude toward debt, having done some seminars with you before. That's kind of a contrarian view today, because there's so many people teaching to get debt free. But I know you see kind of a good debt and a bad debt. So maybe you could, just for a minute, just share with people how you see good debt and bad debt and what the difference in the two is.
Well, good debt is debt that you use to leverage and grow your wealth. For example, we don't pay off mortgages. There's very few people under 10% ever pay off and live in the one house for the rest. I mean, years and years ago, that was true. People would buy a house and they would live in that house their whole life. That's very, very rare these days that people live in a house all their life. Most people are refinancing or selling their houses, moving into new houses. On an average, around 7-10 years is a maximum length that we're seeing people live in a house. So why pay off, especially in larger areas? I mean, if it's, you know, a couple $100,000, those are really no big deal. But if you're in a $500-700 million house, I would rather have you take a large majority of that equity and go buy new assets. So go to asset, and just continue your growth. So those would be considered good debt. Bad debt is the consumer debt. It's overspending, shopping, you know, retail therapy. So we actually encourage you to have good debt. And again, we still don't focus on the bad debt. And again, the part of it, you know, Vic, is, you know, a lot of this is the psychology and the spiritual part of this, where is, you know, what you think about, you create. And I always say, you know, you can focus on getting out of debt and living this restrictive lifestyle and minimizing. And then some magical day when that all gets handled, then we'll switch gears and get you into a creative life. What I've noticed and why our formula works so well is that when I can work with you to get a cash machine, create more money in your life with you, with knowing what you do. Like I have a teacher recently, she's 79 years old. She's got a 40-year teaching career, and she had less than $100,000 to live the rest of her life. And, you know, some people say, well, she's 80. I mean, she's really got, what, maybe 15, 20 years. That's a long time, and less than 100 grand is not a lot of cash. So she's still teaching. And I said, why don't you have a tutoring company? And she said, I'm too old to run a company. I said, you're not too old for anything. So given your reputation, why don't you have the company right down the road as a teaching college, have all the senior students who need teaching hours teach and do all the work. So really, you're just owning and running the company. So she's on track already this year to make over $80,000. That's more than she's ever made in the history of her teaching career, and that's just in 1 year. So I would rather spend all my time focusing her on what's going to create and expand and have her really have a lot more fun in her life than worrying about debt and fixed income. It's such a different conversation. I would say, you know, the rich aren't getting rich and the poor getting poorer. We're not even talking about the same thing.
So you're going to expand your way out of debt, basically grow your way out of debt.
You're right. So by making more money and by getting your money working for you through better investments, you paid off your debt over time. But it shouldn't be, if you really want to become a millionaire or really create success faster, create more money in your life and have the money that you have make more than 4 and 5, 6%, have it make 10, 15, 20%. Those two moves will then pay down the debt. For example, the first chapter in the book, all the stories in the book are true. And it's about a family who had $300,000 of good debt. They had equity in their house. So we took the first move we made because we needed to build confidence and assurance that not only we knew what we were doing, but that they knew that they, you know, really wanted to head down this path. We took $60,000 of that equity, and we introduced them to a field partner in one of our southern states, and they bought 10 little cash flow houses for $60,000. Those houses, a year and 1 month later, are still producing $2,000 a month in cash flow. So $60,000 investment got them $2,000. The $2,000 were taking $400 to pay down their debt. So it's not that we're ignoring the bad debt forever. It's just it doesn't come first in our model of really creating success and more financial results now.
And I've noticed
fun.
That...
Like, what else would you be doing?
I know. I noticed in watching you that you are, number one, very disciplined about practicing your wealth cycle, and you're just very voracious about asset investment, and you're always putting that way ahead of lifestyle, even though you live a pretty nice lifestyle. So how about just educating us real quickly, because I know you were making, you know, 65, 75, whatever, when you were at the oil company, and now you've got a whole lot more money available cash flow and whatever to you. How did you adjust your lifestyle as you began to acquire the asset?
Well, first thing you said is true, which is I acquired a lot of assets before I even began building my lifestyle. And I always say, you know, a lot of people who like to shop, you know, for stuff, you know, retail stuff, actually will enjoy becoming wealthy because you still get to shop. You're just shopping for a different thing. You're shopping for assets. And so we have this little club, Vic, you'll laugh at this, that's called Asset Addicts. Because you sort of become a little addict of, literally, you know, for those who are used to buying stuff that doesn't produce anything, you know, you'll now get used to looking at a laundromat, at a cash flow house. We just got back from north of Cabo. We looked at land and what that would produce. We're building townhouses. I mean, we have so many different assets that are producing. But how I got started, then after you have this whole wealth cycle and assets and investments that you know are going to be sustainable, then go build a big lifestyle. I mean, I don't care if people have a big lifestyle, but I do if they have a lifestyle first. It doesn't work that way. And, you know, we have so many clients they come to us with these huge lifestyles and they're trying to turn it around. And, those are actually almost as challenging as those who come to us almost broke with debt. Because in some ways, you know, the people broke with debt don't have these huge expenses every month like the people that are coming with these huge lifestyles. You know, they're paying for boats and RVs and multiple houses, and they don't have enough money to cover all the payments. I mean, neither is a grand situation to be in. But the model truly is, and I know we're going to go through some scenarios, is, you know, as you learn to make money, your first priority is not a lifestyle, it's to invest. And how we invest, I think you know, Vic, is we're not big fans of the market. I don't care if you have some money in the market, but we're really fans of direct investments. In fact, my second book is coming out November 15th, which will be just on how do we invest to accelerate your wealth cycle, which is instead of owning a REIT, which is like a real estate trust in the market, we own the real estate direct. You also get the tax advantages and all the, this is the ROI. You just have so many advantages to investing direct. Instead of owning money in the oil company stocks, we own the oil wells direct. Instead of buying a stock on the market, we're in the process of finishing buying a couple laundry mats. Like I said, we bought a nutraceutical company, a tabletop resurfacing company, a couple restaurants. So we own them direct. Now, the difference between direct and again in the market is about 5 or 6 layers of middlemen who take a percent, take a percent, take a percent, take a percent, take a percent. So by the time it gets to you, it's under 10% returns. Whereas, a lot of stuff we're doing is in the 15, 20, 30% range.
Well, if I'm
a
person,
it's a very different way to invest.
Right. But a thought occurs to me as I'm listening to you, and obviously, anytime you can bypass the middleman, you're gonna make a profit. So if you're investing direct, you're bypassing a lot of the middleman. So, but let's say the scenario is that I'm just getting started with my wealth cycle, that I don't have enough money to go out and buy a laundromat. I don't have enough money to buy some of the direct investment type assets that you have. How can I say I'm a have a modest amount of money to invest? How can I invest and still invest directly?
Great questions. So what we do with a lot of people who I call are just starting or reframing their entire wealth, their lifestyle cycle to a wealth cycle, is the first thing, and what the book does, and we're going to do this together at the seminar, is do what I call sequencing. A lot of people have been hearing that we don't do debt first. So a lot of people should be asking the question, when do you do debt? And what do you do first? I think there's 6 primary activities that create a really, really good wealth plan. So in the book, our whole focus is on what comes first, what comes second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And so our goal together at the seminar is to do a money makeover. We'll do some gap analysis, some money makeovers, and then help everyone, that's listening on the call that we'll see live, together, put their sequence together. And I'll give you some examples. So the example that you gave, which is, somebody starting out, let's just say they have debt, they're living paycheck to paycheck, and like you said, they just don't have the money to get started. Their sequence should be like this. Number one, go make more money. And, of course, a lot of people listening say, well, how do I do that? You have a skill set. Now, you may not like your skill set, and frankly, I don't care, but I say that with a lot of compassion. But, for example, I have people who really have good IT skills, and they'll say, well, I'm so sick of computers and IT, I don't want to do it. I say, but you don't know anything else, and you don't know how to be an entrepreneur, so I can't teach you both at one time. It's too difficult. I could teach you that, but it's slow. So let's use what you have, like go get an eBay business, do a web development business, a web hosting business, do something technical, go serve small business owners in their homes. I mean, there's tons of different ways that I could brainstorm a way that somebody with IT skills could make money. And then as you learn to be an entrepreneur and make money in the skill set then go do what you love. Like I take the teacher. She wasn't really a fan of doing this tutoring company. She did it anyway. I've taken stay-home moms, and their hobby was, I have this one woman in Los Angeles. She's a stay-home mom for 10 years. And she said, well, I haven't worked in 10 years. I don't even have a college degree. What would I do? And I said, what do you do? And she said, well, I make scrapbooks as a hobby. Well, I said, let's make that a business. And so now she's on track to make $80,000, and she'll do that her first year scrapbooking. She's already been doing the work. She just wasn't charging all her friends for it. The first chapter in the book, that same family we had the $2,000 investment, their $2,000 cash flow with, they made sand dune cars as a hobby. I said, make it a business. So everybody knows something that they can do. I know a ton of people who know how to write and edit. I said, man, small business owners are horrible writers. I said, you could have a whole army of people. I have a guy who came to me about 2 years ago, and he was making less than $1,000 a month. He makes over $25,000 a month writing for people. He writes online web newsletters and stuff like that. He loves to write. He loves topics. So, Vic, there's just everybody has something they can do to make more money. And I always
think that's one of the
because I think so many people, when I first say go make more money, I think the first thing people think of is, oh my gosh, I got to go get another job. I didn't get a job. I said, go make more money.
Right. And I think that's one of your strengths, is that you can see opportunity for other people that they don't even see themselves, that they're sitting on top of. And the fact is that there's no one on the call tonight that doesn't have many, many other ways to generate money using their existing skill set.
Exactly.
That doesn't require any more education, doesn't require any more training. In fact, it's money, quite frankly, they're leaving on the table every day,
mm-hmm.
because it's money that they could generate today, right now, with existing skill set. So I'm looking forward, when we get to Atlanta, to you showing some people firsthand, just like you did with this teacher, which is a phenomenal story, because, you know, there's a lot of people that are in the same predicament as she is, where they're facing retirement. They don't have the money and the assets they should have to retire without, you know, some type of supplementary income or whatever. And so she can convert her skill set to a nice income and really be semi-retired, really, with what she's doing. So that's cool.
Yep. So,
now, you know,
so big on that, let me finish the next couple things to get to assets is,
okay.
Just so they have a sequence. So on that, I would say go make money. And then once they've made some money, legalize it as a business, because the other way that we keep a lot of money home is by legal business structures. And then as they make more money, their third thing would be put it in that wealth account, so you start building up some money. And, you know, once somebody gets $6,000 to $8,000, you know, part of what we do is introduce and network people. And, you know, they could buy their first little cash flow house that would make them $200 to $300 a month in cash flow. So really the sequence for them, you know, very simple terms, we'll do more of it in the seminar, would be make money, make sure you keep it home legally, which means don't overpay in taxes, and then start building up a wealth account so you can start assets. So, you know, that kind of person, I mean, they could be in assets in 6 months.
Okay.
And I think so many people, but here's the problem, Vic, what do most people do when they make money in that model? Typically, they pay down their debt. Now, I'm not saying ignore your debt. Just keep paying the minimums until you get this new process in your life started. And then you'll get so excited about making money, you're not going to worry about a $3 latte. I mean, we always say budgets are like diets. No one's doing them, so let's skip both of those things, and let's just go make money. It's so much more fun to work with people that are creative and, you know, desiring to make money. I mean, I remember way back in the old days where I was, you know, telling people to get out of debt, and the coaching calls were miserable. These people were like, I'm still giving my debt.
Right.
And it was just, like, boring, and they weren't having fun. We weren't having fun. We weren't making millionaires. We eliminated that process. We went for creating more money in their life, and I'll tell you, people just—it was unbelievable the results we're getting.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, life in itself, as you well know, is about expansion and growth anyway. And so, anytime you try to restrict that, then you're actually going against the universal principles of life. So, now I've heard you all night, and woven in everything you've said, real estate, real estate, real estate. And I know that a large part of your wealth in the beginning was you created through real estate, but I'm sitting here, even in Florida, I mean, you know, where it's been going great guns, you know, big run up in prices and phenomenal returns. But even here in Florida, we're starting to see some markets that are starting to go flat. You know, interest rates have really gone up. Are you still as strong on real estate, and how can someone today, in the way the market is today, how can people still make a fortune in real estate today?
Well, I think a lot of that, Vic, is, and you're right. I mean, a lot of markets have all slowed down. Some of the markets are in the highest foreclosure rates. Because I don't know that there really was this real estate bubble. I always, you know, I'm such a contrarian. I think that the mortgage industry completely screwed up the real estate for a lot of people. You know, they 100% finance people who could barely pay the mortgages. The minute somebody's income bumped, you know, now they're in a negative cash flow. They can't afford the negative cash flow. They're going to get foreclosed on. So I think it's more of a finance issue with low interest rates that completely got taken advantage with no education. Now, clearly, as the interest rates have risen, it's moved the market quite a bit. But in the right markets, like I'll just take Phoenix, for example. Like in Florida, it's very similar. There are still games to be played. It just isn't the appreciation game. So, you know, there's now the foreclosure game to play. There's also there's an inverse relationship of appreciation rises versus rentals. So now in Phoenix, the rental market's on fire. I mean, it's one of the hot. I mean, great. Whereas, like you say, a year ago, the rents in Phoenix were horrible because everybody wanted to buy. The interest rates were low. So there's an inverse relationship with the purchasing and the renting, where a lot of the markets that were hot for buying have become now hot for renting. So a lot of our people don't just move. They just have to change their strategy of which they're operating. I mean, we have real estate, and I personally have real estate in 29 different markets, different city markets across the country, and we just had to change the strategy. Now, you can say, like, Boise and Albuquerque are two great markets. We just bought, you know, a bunch of land in Albuquerque, and we're building there. But the places that I always go when markets get odd like this is go back to bread and butter. I go back to the Midwest, and I go back to, like, Arkansas, Louisiana, Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, like all those kind of bread and butter states. You know, they never really had the run. You know, they were always 3% and 4%. And I was there when the runs were going in other markets, and I'm still there, and nothing's really been affected. So I say kind of go home to bread and butter where things aren't volatile and moving, and you'll have a sustainable real estate portfolio. I think a lot of people make the mistake, Vic, of going to one market and thinking they're going to make, you know, tons of money and then get out. And unfortunately, what I see, Florida, Southern California, Phoenix, just to name a few, Vegas, is that the people didn't time it right. They didn't get out. Now they're stuck with overpriced homes. They're not selling them. So, again, there's a lot of stuff, you know, that we can talk about. But I still think wealthy people have a large chunk of their portfolio mix in real estate because it's a hard asset, great tax advantage. And done right, you'll always win. But I think done right is the key.
Okay. So what it means is you have to be willing to play a different game as you go along, and you may not be playing the same game this year as you played last year.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
I said, okay. So what you have to do is you have to be prepared to change your game.
Absolutely.
You're still in real estate. It's just you may be playing a different game this year than you played last year.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of that, Vic, is team. And I think, you know, I haven't talked a lot about that on this call, but there is no way that – I would be doing this without extraordinary teammates. I mean, you know my attorney. In fact, you know several of my teammates, I think. I know several of them are coming to the seminar that are there in your markets. But, you know, I'm in these markets because I have great people. And, you know, our work together with multiple minds and multiple experience has us together strategize about, you know, what do we do in the Phoenix market now that we're there? I mean, we've got, you know, a lot of property. Some of it we sold, a lot of it we converted. So that team creates, you know, a lot of strategy around what each market should be doing. And I think a lot of people are lone rangers. They do it by themselves. And again, I'm talking more American. I know there's people from Asia and Australia or Europe on the phone. It's the same principles. If you have a team, I think you mitigate your risk in life, no matter what you're doing, because you have smarter, you know, more experience on your team. And that's one of the things I've always done is put somebody with bigger, better brains on. That'd be a good T-shirt, wouldn't it be? Bigger, better brains. But I always have somebody who has more experience than me on the team. And, you know, everyone's job is to kind of take care of each other on the team. Everybody needs to win. The deals need to be fair. And I know that's been a huge part of our, not only our success, but our speed of which we create success. If that makes sense. We can do it much quicker because we have so many people with such smart skills.
Sure. Well, I know one thing that I've seen you do before. In fact, the first time I ever actually saw you in person about 4 years ago, it just blew me away. I saw you do some financial makeovers. And then last year when we worked together at Bob Proctor's event in Vegas, you did it again. And that was one of the things I know I talked to you about about coming to Atlanta and doing our seminar in Atlanta was – if you would repeat that same thing. So you're going to be doing financial makeovers in Atlanta, and we really it's very difficult to duplicate that on the phone, and I'm not even going to try to duplicate that on the phone. I'm just going to tell people that it's an incredible process. But what I want to do now is just give them a taste of how you structure people, how quickly you can analyze someone's life. I just created three scenarios.
Okay.
Hopefully those three scenarios, and I picked different socioeconomic levels, is those three scenarios are going to reach close to someone, you know, whoever you are on the call tonight. But I want to give you three scenarios, Laurel, and just, you know, first blush, you know, what would you recommend they do? What's their first step, you know, after they do their gap analysis? What's their first step? Where are they headed? What should they be focused on?
Okay.
And maybe just a 5-minute quick prescription for each of them, and then we'll open up the call at the, you know, for some Q&A here before we go.
Okay.
First scenario is, could be a single person or a couple, but you know, they've got the deal is they've got few real assets. They no money in savings, a pretty significant credit card and other consumer debt. They're renting their house. They're basically living paycheck to paycheck with, you know, all of their outgo, you know, consuming all of their ingo, or their outgo consuming all of their ingo. What's a good starting point? I mean, that, you know, there are a lot of people out there, they really don't have anything, and except they got a job or some other type of income, and they own a car payment, and they own a bunch of other payments, and that's about all they own. What's a good starting point for somebody like that?
Go make money. Go make money. And, you know, it's interesting because combined with go make money for someone in that situation is some attitude and psychology work. Because, you know, and these are four words that I always say to somebody like this. We need to take immediate action, because that action will start getting us experience. Experience will give evidence, and evidence will give confidence. So one of the things that I always do with somebody like that is really work with them on what I call a cash machine. I always call it a cash machine instead of a business. I think you know me well, Vic. I always, you know, change vocabulary because I like new words. And I like the kind of visual of a cash machine. You put a quarter in, you get a dollar back. You put a quarter in, you get a dollar back. And so a lot of it is, how do we help, you know, whoever this, you know, family or individual is, make more money in their life so they have more confidence? Because I think the downside is working with this couple just or a person to change the way they think. I could say you can think about it. And I'm not saying thinking is not important. Thinking is critical. But what I find is most people aren't even open to changing their thinking until they can see something new in their life. So I would say let's go make money, whether it's recently had these two kids actually in Atlanta. They're 19 and 20. And they're like, well, you know, what are we going to do? I mean, we're barely out of school. We're making our way through college. And I said, remember that chapter in the book with the dog walking company? And I said, do you guys have ever had animals? And they said, yeah, we both have dogs. I said, then go household to household. You know, get your parents to get you a van, do a little loan on a van. And that's exactly what they did. They bought a van, they gutted it, and they have this little mobile dog animal grooming company. Basically, they only work with dogs. But as long as you have electric and water, you know, they go drive up to kind of the wealthier neighborhoods, and instead of the person having to go out and get their animal groomed and washed and taken care of, these guys now have a little mobile grooming service for animals. And you know, the more we work with them, the more they get their revenue model right, the better their marketing gets. I mean, they'll probably make, I don't know, I mean, $100,000 together this year. That's $50,000 each. That's awesome. I mean, so a lot of it is you got to get into creative space about what can you do to make more money. And really, Vic, it sounds easier to get somebody in creative space when they've been beat up over debt. So that's like number one is we've got to make more money so we can get the rest of the cycle and the rest of the pattern right. And if we can't get the more money made, you know, job, paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, it's just, you know, the more I've watched people and their behavior, it's just like, what's the path out of that? I mean, it's a miserable path out. So let's go ahead and make more money.
So as it is with a lot of things, really before you're going to put them to work on the money, you're really going to put them to work on themselves.
You have to.
You know, so that's really where you got to start with them. Okay, good. All right, second scenario is we got a middle-aged couple. They're 15, 20 years from retirement. They got some small assets. They got equity in their house. They got a modest 401k. They got some average consumer debt. They've lived, you know, fairly middle of the road most of their life without taking any big risk. They'd really like to own their own business, but they're afraid that they have to risk all their assets and they'd have to take on some debt on top of it in order to swing it, and yet they don't feel like they're going to, at the rate they're going, they're going to have enough to retire. What do you do? Where do you start them at? What are they going to do?
Oh, these guys are fun. I go straight for their asset column, and I look at what assets they have. Typically, people like this have a 401k, they have IRAs, they have I'm going to say they have several 401ks because usually they're not just in one job. So I look at what they have from what I call lazy assets. I have to say this, Vic, because it was so funny. I was working with my publisher the other day, and we're working on the name of the next book about assets. And I said, I think we should name the book Get Off Your Lazy Assets. That'd be good. I think that's so funny. They really didn't think it was very cute, but I thought it was very cute. I think we should do T-shirts that say Get Off Your Lazy Assets. I thought that was very cute. So we would do that first. We would get all their lazy assets that are not making hardly any money, Because this 4% and 6%, when they're middle aged, like you said, if they're 15 years from, you know, really wanting to shift their lifestyle and do more, you know, I don't even like the word retirement, but if they want to do, you know, more of something different than a day to day job, they need to get these their assets working. So I would look at equity, I would look at IRAs, I'd look at 401ks. We have all sorts of ways of moving this money out of 4%, 6%, 8% returns. And I would start introducing them. I'd introduce them to my Arkansas partners, my St. Louis partners, the new Albuquerque. I do combination of growth assets and cash flow assets. I do probably mostly growth because I need them to grow what they have. And then as they get closer, you know, to deciding when to quit their jobs, which hopefully in our model would be 3 to 5 years and not 15, then we'd start moving to some cash flow. Like some of these businesses we're buying, Vicar, 25% cash flow. I mean, we're doing just cool stuff. And there's a way that there that, you know, the what I call average individual, and it's really why I do a lot of the work, is I really believe there's access for all. That a lot of these kinds of investments have been held out for the wealthy, and really there's no reason why average Americans can't do it. Or average people, I keep saying using the word Americans, but you know, average people can't do it. And I mean, I have people from Canada, from South Africa, from Australia, I have people from all over doing these kind of investments. And I think a lot of it is just no one's introduced them to a way to do it. And I think you know a lot of my legal team and my team, and we've just provided really great ways for them to get their assets fixed. So I would do that first, and then I would have a heart-to-heart with the couple, and I'd say, all right, who's quitting their job first? Because for them, I mean, a lot of people, let's be honest, I mean, they don't want to just go home and sit around and just, you know, play. I mean, they may want to play golf every day, which is that's fine, but most people really that I find want to stay active and keep their brain engaged in their life. They just don't know what to do. So right. Then we talk about, well, what do you guys want to do? I mean, maybe you have a consulting, you know, it depends on what their skill set was, but maybe they do a consulting business, maybe they buy a business, maybe, I don't know what they'll do, but depending on their skill set, we really evaluate what's your skills and what could you do to make more money and have this be kind of the game for the rest of your life. And we gear one of them toward it. And then one of them would start it up and quit, and then the other one would follow behind 3 to 5 years later. So I'd supercharge their exit from their day-to-day kind of middle of the road, like let's go create a big life because you still got a whole bunch of years left to play.
Good. Okay, last scenario for a lot of people that it seemed like these people haven't made, but we know they really don't. Last scenario is a single or a couple. They've done pretty good. They've both been earning six-figure incomes for quite a long time. They own their primary residence outright. They got a small mortgage left on a second home they bought a while back. They got, you know, maybe $1 million between their IRAs and their 401ks, but they've been living a pretty big lifestyle, and that's not really, they're 10 or so, 15, 20 years away from retirement. That's not really enough to support the kind of lifestyle they've developed. They want to start taking life a lot easier. And they really want to start making the money work harder for them. They don't know how to do it. What are they going to do?
So tell me how they're making their money again, Vic.
They're wage earners, but they, you know, they're professionals. They have six-figure incomes. They got good, you know, good cash flow, but
they've spent, you know, most of it.
They got some assets. They got some significant assets, but they spend most of it, you know, outside those assets they have, and they got a pretty big lifestyle.
So I would do, and this is, I love how you stage these, and we didn't even know, we just did this.
I knew some people who are going to be on the call, so I kind of picked out some of those.
I would do, let's just say they're a couple, because I do this a lot with my mentoring clients, is I do what I call simultaneous action. I take one of each of the ones before. I want to sit with them first, and I want to find out where their assets really are, and then I want to start an asset plan. But I don't decide which person in the relationship is going to do the assets until I decide which has a skill set that we can build a cash machine on immediately. See, if people really want a big lifestyle, then they can't live. I think fixed income is the stupidest word. I mean, why fix your income when you can expand it? So I would have a conversation between which one of them wants to really go and build a business. Like which one of them is really going to go. And once we decide that one's going to do a cash machine, then the other one needs to take over asset allocation. And so I would do simultaneous action, given that we have a huge lifestyle to cover. And I'd also, you know, I'd reevaluate their mortgages. And we'd really look at where they've been playing. And people like that that really have a big lifestyle, they're actually fairly easy to become an asset addict because they, like I said earlier, they like to shop. I'm just going to get them shopping for something that actually produces money, and they're pretty fast converters. I've done a lot of conversion with, you know, big lifestyle people who see the value of really switching that shopping. So instead of spending, like I had a woman that was spending $25,000 a month, and most of it, 15, 20 of it was just jewelry and clothes, and I got her so addicted to assets, she buys a minimum of 2 houses a month now.
Wow.
So it was just a conversion of her spending pattern. So she feels still like she's shopping. She's just shopping for something that's really going to support her life for the rest of her life.
Wow.
So if I can get them to do simultaneous action, that's where we're going to create speed for the couple. And then for the single people, they say, well, what do I do? You do what I did. I mean, I've, you know, just recently, you know, found somebody I'm going to be with. But, you know, I did this whole thing as a single mom. And so you find teammates. And so a lot of the single folks say, well, what do? You do the same thing I did. I found a bunch of teammates and people that I could partner with. But while I was building my cash machine, I had a partner working on some assets. And then, you know, for a while, then I kind of switched gears and I'd work on assets. And I'd start hiring teammates to help build cash machines. And then over time, you'll have teammates on both sides. And that's when you really have freedom day. I mean, I live full-time up in Lake Tahoe now. And I have a whole team of, you know, 32 people down in San Francisco. And they run the office. I go down there maybe every other month. I don't have to be there. You know, I look at the lake every day. Oh. And, but it, you know, it was building team for 5 or 6 years to get that all set.
Okay.
So it's doable.
Okay. Well,
it's so much
you know,
fun. What else would you do?
Yeah, folks, I tell you, I mean, that was exciting to hear her do that just so quickly. You just have no idea if you've never seen her do that. With a live audience, with a live person who's volunteered, who really wants to turn their life around or go in a different direction, and watch her do a complete makeover for someone, it's breathtaking. And I hope you'll make plans to see her do that in Atlanta. You'll have a number of occasions to see her do that. Who has got the first question for the Millionaire Maker tonight?
I do. This is Honey from Des Moines.
Hey, Honey.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good, how are you?
Oh, gosh, I cannot wait for Atlanta. If somebody were to want to volunteer, what kind of information do they have to bring with them to Atlanta?
One thing I want to say for everybody is you'll move farther, faster, and pardon me if I'm just going to say this big, but they got to go get the book and read the darn book.
Absolutely.
True.
So
the book will
show you the gap analysis that we're going to do, and that way you get a visual of it.
Okay.
But if
okay.
that doesn't work for you to get it, then what you need is every bit of financial information in detail. So, for example, I'm going to ask you from the, like whoever I you know, bring to the stage, how much income, and not just like casual, like, oh, around 4,000. Like the more details you give me the financials, the better the plan will be.
Okay.
So income, expenses, assets, liabilities, if you make business money, if you make interest money, you know, if you owe, you know, grandma money, if you owe dad money, like I don't, everything has to be disclosed. If you've had a divorce, if you had a bankruptcy, like you kind of live financially naked on stage, I say.
I was going to say that it gets to the core, doesn't it?
You kind of get to the serious stuff. And here's what I find is if you don't tell all of that detail, then we're kind of guessing on what you could do versus tell the truth on what you could do. So you
right.
got to know that, and then give some thought to what you might want to do. Like, what could you do given some of the, you know, language we've been talking about? Like, what could you do to make more money? Because that's, you know, that's a question I'm going to ask. What could you do for, what's your skill set? How could we make more money together?
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about mentoring people, how do people get on your program? Like, do you have a team of mentors, or is it strictly mentoring just with you?
I have 80 millionaires that work with me. 80 millionaires are just in my coaching team. We have a whole army that help make millionaires. That's why getting to 500 really isn't that tough. We've got 80 people working on it.
And how does one go about?
You're going to learn all about that at the seminar, right, Vic?
Yeah, but who wants to wait for the seminar? Dang.
Absolutely.
This is way exciting stuff.
Absolutely.
It's so exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, you haven't even seen it yet. Just wait till you see it. Wait till you see it, honey. I mean, I know, it's particularly you. You'll never be the same. You'll never be able to make it back. You'll never be able to make it back to Iowa.
Oh, Kirk, better hang on, huh?
That's right. Who else has got a question?
Does Laurel have a website?
Chad got a question. The question I have is, you know, someone that has money or doesn't have the money, but they have the fear to invest the money, How do you work with such an individual?
Again, if you don't have the money, two different ways. One is through your cash machine. We're going to get you to make more money, and then that money does not pay down debt. It doesn't go for buying them a new bike or any new goodies. You go straight to assets with the money you do make. The second thing we do for people who don't have money and that want to start like immediately is if you have good credit, you can partner with somebody who has good money. And if you have good energy and some experience and you want to just go, like I know a lot of people who know really good real estate, or like I have a guy who really knows how to run business, but he's been kind of the right-hand operator for everybody else. And so when I started working with him, I said, you know, why don't you know how to run a business. A lot of people don't, but they have a good idea. And then let's find some people's money and let's partner up. So what you're going to see a lot in our model is that the team is part of a lot of, I mean, everything we do requires a team. If you go solo, you go slow. So
right.
Depending on where you are, I always say there's always a way to move.
No.
Like I have some people who have great credit, but they didn't have any money. They partnered up, say, for these cash flow houses, for example. Like say somebody, you know, that you know might have, you know, $10,000 or $20,000, but they have bad credit because they haven't, you know, for whatever reason. Then we partner you guys up and you go together. So there's all sorts of ways to start.
Terrific.
Brenda from Phoenix.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, my question is, I'm almost there in so far as, you know, I've done a few little things. I have my own transcribing business, you know, and my husband and I bought our first income property here in, we're living in it, in Arizona. But he's 85, I'm 57, but we still need a strategy and, you know, to buy, you know, for growth income. My question is, if we're unable to come to the seminar, would we still be able to join your group and to make this money work and get more structure and get growth income and kind of hone up what we're doing haphazardly?
The book will give you a lot of how-tos. I purposely wrote the book to give you a lot of how-tos. And, well, and I was going to say, maybe for those that can't come, we can do a teleseminar or something afterwards.
Absolutely.
For
Absolutely.
Those who can't come, and then they can have more access to all the stuff we do.
Absolutely.
Want to do that?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes?
Hello? Yes, my name is Wanda, and I'm from Dallas. I am 56 years old, and I do not have a good income at all. I do have an idea that I could get started if I just knew how to get it off the ground that really wouldn't require any startup money, but I just don't know how to get it advertised or promoted. Do you have someone that can work with a person to teach them how to get the advertisement or the promotion that they need to get it started? And basically what I want to do is I want to go in and organize busy ladies' wardrobes that travel a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, for us to move somebody and their cash machine in business, if we don't teach them to market and sell, they'll never grow their business. So our you know, the work we do is really comprehensive. It's full business development, full asset allocation. So yes, and again, you're partnered, you know, in our system, you know, one on one with the coach, and those of you coming to the seminar, you're gonna learn intimately all about that, because that's, you know, that's the way we work with people.
I feel like if I could get it started, I could get some other things that I'm very creative going, because
No, dear. No. You don't get to start another thing. So here's one of our models.
Okay.
You don't get to start a second thing until you have one thing at least at six figures.
Okay.
So otherwise you're going to spread yourself out, and it's a huge mistake.
That's true.
Hodgepodge business planning. So we have that's a huge mistake that many entrepreneurs make, is they do a lot of things really well, but nothing really great.
Yes.
And so there really isn't any great money. But you're busy. So I would rather have you do one thing, like this one thing, really, really well, and we'd help you build a big business model around it and everything. And then you get the next thing, and then you get the next thing. So over time, you get the multiple streams.
Okay.
But if you spread yourself out too fast, too soon, I think you end up staying around.
And how do I get in touch with you to see about someone working with me?
Vic, do you want them just to email you for interest right now?
Sure. Send any request, and we'll forward them over. If you'll send it to support@claimyourpowernow.com, support at claimyourpowernow.com. Then I'll tell you something exciting here in a minute, but we'll take one more question.
Hello,
this is Bomi. I have been trying to talk since.
Wait a minute. We had someone from San Antonio.
This is Tammy from San Antonio.
There you go. Okay.
Hi, Vic. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
I've been working a lot of events for the last several years, a lot of promotions, corporate events, as a brand ambassador. I've done bartending. I've done a bunch of different things because my goal is to become an event coordinator. And I finally made the decision that I'm going to step out and start my own business. I don't have any capital to get started. I'm not exactly sure where and how to get started. I do have girls who work with me. But I guess I just kind of wanted to get some feedback from you, maybe some guidance.
You need a whole business plan. There's a whole planning process that we work with you on how to first vision how big it is. Right now it sounds like you kind of been doing event versus, like, in our model, we want to say, you know, what's the big goal? I mean, do you want to have this be a $500,000 company, $1 million company? How big are we visioning it? And then we back in to, you know, what's the team that has to be in place? Because the biggest mistake that most people make is they do a little bit of what I say, they treat their thing they're going to do like a hobby, and then they try to do it all by themselves. And we really stretch your mind to say, how big do you want it? Who's the team? And if you weren't going to do any work but run the team, like, how is this all going to work? Because we really need you in a very different business-minded state to be successful. Otherwise, you're going to create another job, and you'll be burned out in a year. So we have a kind of a whole different business planning process that's so much fun. And, again, when we're together, a lot of these, you know, steps are going to make a lot more sense, because I'm going to give you a whole sequential presentation.